Am I on? Thank you. There are a couple people who have signed up for the membership class, so afterwards, would you please come to me so I can give you the materials for next Sunday? Thank you. In late June, when I look at the preaching calendar, and when I saw my name for today, I began to have cold sweats. I didn't know what I'm going to talk about. And so I wondered for a while, for at least a couple weeks, in terms of what topic should I be speaking to you about. So I thought about in terms of the time, August the 2nd and July the 26th, when we, as a congregation, call Pastor Tran to be the senior pastor. And I know that some of you may have positively or negatively have voted to confirm Pastor Tran. So today is August 2nd, and we know what are the results. And so we have a new pastor, praise the Lord, new senior pastor, praise the Lord, Pastor Tran. Now, whenever there is a senior pastor, it's a big deal. In any local church, and Raleigh Chinese Christian Church is no different. So next week, as his first opportunity for Pastor Tran to gather the congregation together. So next Sunday at 9:30, we have a combined service when he'll have an opportunity to talk to the three congregations. And at 11:15 hour, there will be an installation service for him, and then after which he will share his vision and ministry plan for us. Now, our church is blessed with many spiritual gifted people. We can see many of the youth in their talents, in terms of their praise, and also other things as well. And so instead of each of us acting independently, as many gifted people are prone to do, the purpose of a well-tuned church is to be working together as a team. So that's the responsibility of Pastor Tran, as a senior pastor, to build us into a team. And he's like a coach, and that's what a coach is to do. Last month, I was in Atlanta visiting my grandkids, to watch them, and watching them means basically to put a meal on the table and to coach, to essentially drive them around for their activities. My grandson, who's 12, plays on a sanctioned basketball team for sixth graders. So last fall, when I first visited him, when he joined the team, he first gone to middle school, first a sixth grader, as a new team, new people, new coach, new school. Everything was new. So when I watched him play the first game, it was kind of so-so. And so after nearly a year now, so this past month when I visited them, is entirely different. Their different skill sets have been honed to work together almost perfectly by this coach that they had. In the fall, they were playing more or less independently by themselves. And this past visit, they were playing as a team in terms of talking to each other, in terms of looking for the open man, let the guy shoot, right? Rather than be selfish and take the shots myself kind of idea. So also at this last trip, my grandson also played in this tournament. It's called the Annual North American Basketball Association Tournament. His team did well. There were six zip going into the semifinals and lost to the team that eventually was the winner. So coaching can be difficult. And Pastor Tran has a lot of work ahead of him. And a successful coach is not just the coach, but also the members, meaning you and I, as they become the member of this team. So Ephesians 4 gives us a glimpse into this team in terms of what Paul is writing here. For the first three chapters, Paul is in unfolding the church as a new entity in terms of a local body. Before, it was like a team when my grandson first played, right? There are no organization, all that kind of thing, no teaching. So in chapter 4, he brings the idea of encouragement to the Ephesian church. And not only that, when he was to exhorting them in the early chapters, now he is indeed expository to them in the first three chapters. Now he's encouraging them to do what he wants them to do. So this passage, Ephesians 4, is about the local church. It's about Raleigh Chinese Christian Church in the same journey that the Ephesian church was when Paul wrote the book. Here is what Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So read along as I read chapter 4. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, which all with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. By grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore it says, and he's now quoting from Psalm 68 in terms of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, that is the work of the Holy Spirit of God, of Christ, the man, that he came on earth, he died a death, he was crucified, he rose again. And through this resurrected Lord, as we see in John chapter 4, 14, 15, and 16, where he gave the Holy Spirit to his people. And we see it here as well, what he's talking about here. So in saying he ascended, where does it mean that he has also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he may fill all things. And he gave to some, and I added the word to some here, because in some different versions, it does have the words to some. Apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor and teachers. And later on, we'll see that the pastor and teachers are in one office, not two separate offices, as a separate pastor or a separate teacher, but a combination of duality of function of a pastor to be a teacher, to equip the saints to the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and the carried about by every wind and doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful scheme. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Meaning, this love is that we would encourage one another, build up one another to be more like Jesus. So as you can see here, this passage gives us a lot of material. We look at verse 2, it talks about the calling. Verse 1, the calling, and in verse 2, the conduct. Then in verse 3, the unity. In verse 5, the doctrine. And then in terms of the grace gifts, in verse 7. So, this is what Paul is giving to the church. What Paul is giving to the Raleigh Chinese Christian Church. So what is Jesus providing to the Ephesian Church? What is Jesus providing to the Raleigh Chinese Christian Church? It's the gift of leaders, as we see here in verse 7. Also look at verse 11, because it talks about these gift leaders. To some, to be apostles, the prophets, evangelists, and the pastor teachers. And look at verse 12. Not only did Paul give us these gift leaders, he tells us what they are to do, right? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Man, that means to us, people, that we are the saints of the ministry here to be equipped to do the work. So I want us to look at these 16 verses and look at the questions that are listed in your outline in terms of how we can essentially ask the questions of Pastor Tran. You know, in our church, we have a self-assessment, a assessment. It's actually a 360 assessment for our pastoral staff. And so what it means is that at the end of the year, there's assessment in terms of how they feel in terms of the ministry. And so you might say, here is a list that we can assess Pastor Tran and it's going forward in terms of his work as a senior pastor. So looking at this, we look at verse 12. It tells us what it's given. And these are the so-called four office gifts that we want to look at, right? So this passage encourages our calling, working together, to grow together. And the purpose here is in terms of question one, is can Pastor Tran help us to fulfill our calling? So we ask ourselves, what is this calling, right? Based on what we read, our calling is not in terms of what you see here in front of your bulletin, right? To reach the Chinese community for Christ, to transform them into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ by becoming a reverent, Christ-centered, care community that glorifies Christ. This is fine, but this is not what this passage is talking about. This passage is talking about the calling, to fulfill our calling, and our fulfilling our callings is in terms of building up the body so that each one can be looked more like Jesus Christ. And Pastor Tran will lead the way in terms of building us up in terms of this calling. Question two, does he preach the truth of God's word? Well, you might say this is kind of late now, right, in terms of asking this question. He's already a senior pastor. You might say this question should have been asked of him while he was in terms of being called. This 3 months period before July the 26th, right, in terms of preaching the God's word. Well, you all know that his calling was done by a calling letter. It was not through a search committee. And how was he tested and examined, as was brought up in the calling letter? Well, through the Cantonese congregation, he had worked with them for the past 7 to 8 months before the meeting, the congregational meeting, working with the church council and also the shepherding team, right, who made this recommendation to get us started. That's what we did, right? You all know that. It's nothing contrary, right? So if we were to find him not preaching God's word, then what are you going to do? You're going to take your vengeance out upon the council, upon especially the ST, the shepherding team, who make the recommendation, and especially to this old man who wrote the letter in terms of the call letter, in terms of you might even be so mad that you may want to tar and feather him or kick him out of the church, so to speak, in that regard. So the question here then, is this question negotiable in terms of preaching God's word? I would say it's not negotiable. Why is it not negotiable? Because God's truth is the very agent which God has ordained us to accomplish the question one in terms of the calling in terms of building up the body. So how can we build up the body without the truth of God's word? That's not possible, right? At least in my thinking, in the church's thinking. So if this is truth that transforms us from a saint to a sinner. So what Paul is saying here in this verse is that God's truth is not relative. So we look at verses 4, 5, and 6, and we see why. Because there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the truth, God's word. How can we deviate that? Right? And this is the truth that prevents us. It's described in verse 14, so that we cannot regress in terms of our growth. And what is this regression? This regression is given us in verse 14, so that we may not no longer be children tossed to and fro by the ways and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. God's word is supreme, and he guides us so that we cannot depart. So the question here, does Pastor Tran preach the truth of God's word? The question here is that will he teach us, and will he tell us what is the truth of God's word from God's mouth? Question 3, will he nurture God's grace in us? It's like, what can we get out of Pastor Tran? He's a pastor, right? Is that the question that we should be asking? The question is not, what can we get out of him? That's not the issue. The bigger issue is, what can he get out of us? We are his instruments, agents, so to speak, in terms of him molding us to be more like Jesus. Because this text tells us we need to grow in the image of Christ under the agency of God's word. So growing in the image of Christ under the agency of God's word is what? In terms of verse 7. Look at verse 7. What does it say to us? But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. What is this verse talking about? It's talking about the spiritual gift that we have talked about off and on. What has he given us? Right? Then he expounds this gift in verse 9 and 10 by saying he descended, as we had quoted before. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Right? Meaning that he did the work of the gospel in terms of what is this passage referring to in regards to verse 14, and also in terms of verse 15 in terms of truthing, right? Truthing here in verse 15 says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head of Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Truthing is an active word. It is a participle. Truthing, the word in love, is active. Meaning that it helps us or causes us, the body, to look more like Jesus. Right? So this truthing then is an active thing and enable us to lead the body. It's not a passive thing. So we need to be active in this way because the Bible tells us here in verse 15 is a speaking, is the truthing idea in terms of being active. We're not to be sitting here in a booth to be couch potatoes. We are to exercise our spiritual gifts that the Lord has given us. So let's go on to question number four. Is he called to be a pastor teacher? This verse hinges on from the church at Ephesus to today's church. These are the gifts, the office gifts that are given to us in verse 11. And to some, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastor teachers. Now, when Paul was writing Ephesians, these four office gifts were going on at the same time. As the church evolved, the office of the apostle, the office of the prophet, were pushed to back, and now the pastor teacher, the evangelist, became more prominent. So we see in early days the apostles were sent to help root the church in its devotion to God's mission. And prophets are men sent to help to ground the church in its dependency upon God's revelation. So as the church grew, we know that the office of the apostle and the prophets had become diminished. And depending on your theology, if you're a dispensationalist, you can understand why, but if you're a covenant theologian, then you may not see it that way. So I look at it as a dispensational in terms of time. So as time progressed, the office of the apostle and also the prophets are no longer there. And we see in prominence the pastor, teacher, and the evangelist. Now, if we look at Pastor Tran, would he fit the bill of the pastor, evangelist, or pastor, teacher, or the evangelist? Now, when we think of an evangelist, we always think about Billy Graham, right? That's the model that he gives to us. But there aren't that many evangelists around nowadays. And so the office of pastor teacher may be the main function of the pastor in a local church, but he has to work outside of this function to be evangelist. In other words, he can be the chief evangelist, and then his responsibility then is to coach the smaller evangelists amongst our congregation so that all of us can bring the gospel to those around us. As you may remember, Pastor Tran wrote a testimony, and he talks about the vision of the Chinese, especially the professionals and the students from China. Let me read a portion of what he said to you, to us. 8 months passed very quickly. While shepherding the Cantonese congregation, I noticed a stunning phenomenon. The Lord brought countless students, scholars, and professionals from China to the vicinity of this church. The majority of them are the cream of the crop in the Chinese academia. They are young and highly educated, mostly candidates for higher degrees or postdoctoral programs and professionals. I was stunned because 50 years ago, when I was a new Christian, the Lord moved the hearts of Chinese churches in Hong Kong and Vietnam to pray fervently for opportunities to spread the gospel in China. The population of China at that time was over 700 million. For many years, we prayed constantly for those 700 souls, our own flesh and blood, who needed to hear the gospel. Now, 50 years later, I witness how God listened to the prayers of the overseas Chinese Christians. So I can say from here, he has the heart of an evangelist as well. Not only the main responsibility as a pastor teacher, but he's working outside the office of the pastor teacher, the evangelist as well. Last question, question five. Is this guy God's provision for our church? It is the responsibility of the shepherding team and the council, and as well as the Cantonese congregation, to help us discover what God is providing for us. As we see here in verse 11, God provided because he gave the gifts of evangelism, of the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists, and the pastor teachers. God has led Pastor Tran into our midst, and he has provided. He has provided Pastor Tran. We confirmed that as a congregation last Sunday. So we need to encourage him and help him to be the evangelist as well as the pastor teacher. I hope these five questions will be a benefit to you, and I will encourage our hearts as we work together with Pastor Tran. Let's pray.